Hey, Stugatz and Stupidity is presented by ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. The NBA playoffs are almost here, and the Woj Pod is your one-stop shop for news, insight, and big-name interviews. This week, Woj spoke with former number one overall pick DeAndre Ayton of the Suns about their success in the bubble, and the Thunder's Shai Stanczyk. I can't say this guy's name. I know he's
Shai.
What is it?
Shai.
Shai, I was working for the next name. How about that? I mean, what, pronounce that one. Good luck.
What, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander?
All right, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. I was never worried about Alexander, just the Shai and the Gilgeous, but you knocked it out for us. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander about what he's learned by playing alongside Chris Paul. I can tell you what he's learned, that Chris Paul is never going to get you an NBA championship. You can find the Woj Pod wherever you get your podcast.
Welcome to a journey inside the soul of one of sports media's brightest minds. A profoundly nuanced odyssey called Stupidity. Hosted by the incomparable Stugatz, a man I consider a personal hero and icon of the industry. I want to make no bones about it. There is no Mike Greenberg today without the sensational Stugatz providing me the inspiration to chase my dream and challenge myself to be just half as brilliant as he is. Allow me, Mike Greenberg, a man who would probably today be doing traffic in Sioux Falls without Stugatz's influence, to welcome you to a truly transcendent sonic experience. This is Stupidity.
Welcome into another episode of Stupidity, the biggest podcast in the world. We are bigger than Smartless. How about that? What the hell that is? Smartless. I mean, no one is less smart than we are. Get out of here, Smartless.
So you're suggesting that you are dumber than this podcast, Smartless?
Yes, I am. I am suggesting we should have named the podcast Smartless. Although Stupidity is a pretty damn good name, but Smartless, I just want you to know we're dumber.
Smartless is Jason Bateman, Sean Hayes, and Will Arnett.
Oh, wow. Bateman was canceled on Netflix, and now he's resorting to podcasts. How about that?
Get off our corner, Bateman.
What was that? What happened to his show on Netflix? I thought it was so popular. What was that show?
Ozark.
Yeah.
I think it is still popular. I don't know if it's over. I know there's been three seasons. I've only watched two. I'm a little sick of it.
It's over.
Adnan Verk, former guest on this podcast, crushed it on his podcast, Cinephile. Yeah.
Rip Bateman was on?
No, he didn't talk to Bateman. He just said the show is wildly overrated. Predictable.
Well, you don't have to worry about it anymore. It's canceled. I mean, so.
Where are you getting this information that it's canceled? I don't think that's the case.
Well, why don't you look it up? I'm telling you right now, the show's been canceled. Why? I mean, Stanzik, why the hell do you think Bateman's doing podcasts now? I mean, this is it. This is what happens. I mean, you're a TV star 1 minute, the next minute, you're the host of Smartless.
I guess you could say canceled. And by canceled, renewed for a final two part season.
And that's it.
And that's it. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
So now we're doing Smartless. So Bateman, get him on, by the way. Okay. And Bateman, I just want to let you know that we have cornered the market on Stupidity. Okay. The name of the podcast is Stupidity. So you and your Smartless friends, get the hell out of here. We're bigger than you. How about that? Very excited. Laura Rutledge is going to join us for a second time. Now, the last time she joined us, she was Laura Rutledge. She was on the rise, okay? She was one of my top five on the rise people at ESPN, and that's what this podcast is. Unlike Smartless, Stupidity is a stepping stone to greater things, okay? Smartless is where you go when the greatest thing you've ever done has been canceled. In fact, Bateman should get back here. I'll get him back on Ozark. I mean, how about that? Anyway, so Rutledge was on the rise doing college football. She's great, and now she's the host of NFL Live, which debuts August 17th, 4 p.m. Eastern, with her as the main host. Now, our friend Mina Kimes is also a part of the show and countless others. But how about that? Rutledge makes an appearance on Stupidity, gets a little banana bread and some stickers, does nothing with them, and then boom, NFL Live host. How about that?
So you're suggesting that she got the so-called Stupidity bump. She comes on this podcast, her profile is even bigger. She gets NFL Live, direct result.
Yeah, and make no mistake about it. If I'm being unclear, I'm not suggesting it. I'm telling you it's up. And we have a funny story to tell with Laura Rutledge. So with that said, let's bring on the new host of NFL Live. We're very happy for her. Laura Rutledge again, Monday, August 17th, 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN. Perhaps she'll do one of the things we've asked her to do since we've done everything she's asked us to do.
Stupidity!
We're rolling, by the way, Laura. Fair warning.
Oh, you should be. I get to my computer here, and I think my husband's been using the computer, but it says it's got an update, and it says it's going to take 45 minutes for the update. So I'm like, right. I got to load up this brick that I have as my work computer and see if that's going to work. And it doesn't work. So anyway, the 45 minutes turned into actually 8 minutes. And now here I am.
All right. Well, I'm on the original. Were you thinking it might go 45 minutes? And that's, I mean.
I started to sweat a little bit because I thought, man, they're definitely not going to wait for me for 45 minutes. Like you guys have.
I can. Yeah, I got you.
Right. Better things to do, aka a show that you need to do. So
I don't know if there are better things to do. It's just something I'm
or not.
You know? Patience isn't one of your strengths, too.
Oh, yeah. Neither is texting, turns out.
I mean, I can be honest. If I'm at 1 o'clock, I'll blow off the show today. I have no issue doing that.
Be like, no, Laura Rutledge cannot get her technology figured out. She's already done stupidity. She's like already been on this, but she can't figure it out a second time. She forgot how to do it. So we're going to wait.
Pressure call from Stanzik, by the way. It's like, hey, you join and then call you.
Well, I know you because you would just scrap the whole thing. You'd be like, all right, forget it. We'll get Laura next week. I'm like, well, it starts Monday. Like you'd be like, forget it. We'll figure it out. And I know then we wouldn't figure it out. It would be- A series of events.
We're doing it earlier because I lied to Laura and I told her, I said, listen, suggestion here, okay? NFL Live starts Monday, 4 o'clock. And I stands that this was your thought, it was your idea, but I couched it as mine.
Oh, yeah.
We might want to do this earlier so it has the proper time to breathe and the proper amount of time to promote you and your first NFL Live show. On Monday. I presented that to you as my idea, right, Laura?
You did. And then you went through a whole lot of other scheduling minutiae of all these different times. And it was like, you know, we could do it at 4:52 p.m. on Thursday, or we could do it at 9:08 a.m. And I'm going through. Then Stu goes, I'm sorry, I'm a Kittle scattered today. Kittle. Now, this, of course, is the day that George Kittle is making $75 million. So I'm like, is he making some sort of tight ends joke? Like, what is this joke? I don't even know what this is. And he really was a Kittle and a little scattered. But either way, we finally agreed on this, which turns out it was Stanzik's idea. I should have known that all along. It was never...
I'm trying to give you this stupidity bump for the second time. The first time, you're welcome, by the way.
Oh, yeah. You guys made me into, like, I have a whole new group of people that want to be my friends now. And I needed them.
Seth Markman, apparently.
Right. Exactly. Like, yeah. You guys got me this NFL Live job. Let's just be honest.
Yeah. And by you guys, you mean me. That's it.
Well, I just felt. Yeah. It's a courtesy inclusion for Stanzik. I mean, we got to keep him in.
Take what I can get.
Wait, I want to hear about some of the other people who want to be friends with you now, because they're not all Seth Markman. I know my audience, and there's some creeps out there. So what is that?
Yeah, I love your audience, and they're kind. I feel like they're my people, you know? I feel as though, and I know they're your people, but I feel like I understand them. I can relate to them.
Mine is yours now, Laura. Okay?
I mean, what's mine is yours. I don't have much to offer you, but whatever I have, it's all yours. Really, what tipped it over the edge was when I put the stupidity sticker on my head and sent out what could have been deemed as a thirst trap selfie, but except it wasn't because it had stupidity sticker on the head. So it was actually not that. And I truly just snapped it walking in the door. The second that I opened up the package and look, I realized we're in, you know, a global pandemic. I probably should have sanitized something, but I opened up the package and slapped the sticker on my head and took a photo. And that was really what, you know, made me have some new friends. I mean, look, they're actually really polite and wonderful people. Yeah. We talk about, you know, what we eat. We talk about the banana bread that you sent me, all these things. So it's a very cordial relationship with these people.
Yeah, they don't care about sports, really. I mean,
they don't. I know.
It's weird. They care about people, though. They do. They genuinely care about they care about our friends. I mean, the show's always been more about us than it's been about topics or sports or so. My friends are your friends. You're welcome. I mean, send a few my way if you want.
I don't have any friends. You guys and my new friends, thanks to you, are really my only friends. So I do have some animal friends though. So if you want to be friends with some dogs. That's honestly getting to work with Mina Kimes all the time now. I'm so excited about Mina, but I'm really excited about Lenny. And I know you guys are familiar with him and just what he brings to the table as a very good boy from a dog standpoint.
Yes, we love Lenny. What have you learned about our friend Mina Kimes? With her on Monday.
She is brilliant. She is so funny. She can cook up a GIF or a meme in a second. Like, I don't know how she's doing that so fast. And it'll be the perfect thing. And she'll even create memes and GIFs and all that. But I mean, that's just surface level. Beyond that, she's an incredible football analyst and she brings so much to the table from that standpoint. But every step of the way, I'm so impressed by her and she makes me laugh my butt off all the time. She is so funny. So I think we're gonna have a lot of fun. For me on NFL Live, I think the biggest problem is gonna be just not laughing the entire time and people being like, "Oh, that chick on NFL Live just won't stop laughing. What's so funny?" So anyway, she's wonderful. She's fantastic. She loves you guys, as you know.
She's great. She it feels like she should be doing more with her life. I mean, to be honest.
Yeah. Like, come on, Mina. Yale. I mean, all the whatever. She's stepping up a little bit.
It feels like I'm doing exactly what it is I should be doing. It feels like you are doing pretty close to what it is you should be doing. It feels like Stanzik is definitely doing exactly what it is he should be doing. It feels like Mina should be saving the world. I mean,
yeah, we're wasting her talents, to be totally honest. Stanzik is doing too much, I think, if we're being real. But
I mean, I produce Mina's podcast too, Laura. I don't know if you know this. I'm very well acquainted with Mina and Lenny. Right.
I love
it. What do you think? He's carrying the entire Lumbertown network, Stanzik? I think he is. I think you're right.
Well, you're the one that complained of back problems this morning. I said, why? Because you're carrying the show? And you said, yes.
Let's just carry Dan.
Yeah. Well, he's fat. So.
Are you having back problems?
He's old.
Yes, I am having back
problems. What is it? Lower, upper? Like, what are we dealing with here?
Why? You're going to fix me? It's lower.
I mean, I might have some stretches for you. If you just do like a little back crack like this, I think you'll feel a lot better. Did you hear mine? It cracked.
Is that me?
Oh, is he frozen? Did we lose it? Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Stupidity!
All right, so you were in the middle of telling me some stretches that you do to fix
me. Right. So just, you know, like, imagine that your body is a washcloth that you're wringing out and just start wringing out your back, you know? Like, do some mobility turns here. Maybe get a little arm into it. Other side. I don't see it. Oh, yeah, I need you to commit to this.
Wait, she sent me a video here of where it is I froze. Do you not want me to see it, Stanzik?
No, you can see it. The audience needs to see it later. That's all.
So where are you joining us? Because last time you joined us from your sauna.
Oh, he's back.
Yeah, right. So I am joining you guys. So I had to move to Connecticut to do this NFL Live, which I'm very excited to be here in the great state of Connecticut. And I say that because I think it's because I'm here in the summertime. So check back in with me, you know, sometime around like November, December, later than that. But yeah, I'm in this office room that I have here. It still has a very wood theme. You know, I like the sauna, wood, all those rustic things. Right. That really go well with my vibe, you know?
I've stayed exact, not in the room, but I have stayed exactly where it is that you were staying right now. I'm familiar with that little office, that type of wood. Stanzik, why are you making that face? You know what? You're in a hotel right now, right?
No, I'm pretty sure she's not. This is a home.
I think it's like, has Stu Gatz been in my house?
That's why I had the freeze.
I swear to you, those are Homewood Suites.
I'm going to fall out.
I mean, Brookridge, upgrade a bit. Let's go.
Listen, Homewood Suites are nice. Like, if I go to a Homewood Suites, I'm excited because sometimes they give you popcorn and it's a really good hotel. So I take this as a compliment that you think I'm now living in a Homewood Suite.
It just dawned on me why you made the creepiest face ever when I said, I know exactly.
Like, have you been here? Excuse me?
I'm not embarrassed.
You never are.
I may never recover from that moment of like, what am I missing here that Stu Gatz has been in this Connecticut house? Turns out it's a Homewood Suites.
Oh, wow. So funny.
So NFL Live, Monday, 4 p.m.
Oh, can't wait. Tune in, guys. We're going to have Marcus Spears and Dan Orlovsky as regular mainstays on the show. Of course, Mina Kimes, as we talked about, she's going to be there all the time and bringing the fire, bringing the heat. Keyshawn Johnson will be joining us. Adam Schefter is going to be there all the time as well. And I think people are going to just enjoy. I mean, it's a football show. So we're not reinventing television. We're not doing something totally different. NFL Live's been a mainstay on ESPN and a successful mainstay for good reason. So we're just coming in to talk some ball with some friends. And I know that kind of sounds corny, but that really is what it is. And I'm excited. And then I'm really excited down the road to be able to be in person with people. We've got obviously some restrictions right now, but I think it's going to be a lot of fun to, you know, start the show off and then get the group together eventually.
Can I tell you, when you talk about it, I see this smile come across your face. By the way, there's a smile that comes across my face because I know I put you there. So you're welcome.
owe you so much. How will I ever repay you? I'll invite you to my Homewood Suites.
Or the Ramblewood Suites, whichever one it's called. But I see this smile come across your face when you're talking about NFL Live and it debuts again Monday, 4 o'clock. Laura Rutledge is the host. She's with us here on Stupidity. This seems like we've arrived at a place career-wise where I don't think you've ever been happier. And to be the host of NFL Live on ESPN, I always told people when I got to ESPN, because the dream was ESPN or WFAN, and I'm here. I arrived at one of those two places. I didn't really care which one. I just wanted to get to one of them, and I got to one of them, and I'm thrilled to be here. But it's the small little things that you get to do once you're at ESPN inside this massive corporation that we all work for. Like for me, it was hosting First Take or doing Mike and Mike or being able to do it with Golic or Greedy and Greedy. I've hosted that show with both those guys. Being on a set of Baseball Tonight, being the host of NFL Live, that's a big deal. And I see a big smile and a look of satisfaction come across your face when you talk about it.
Yeah, my face is telling all the stories here. You're absolutely right. Here's the thing. Like, I sit here so often, and I even said this before I even got to ESPN when I was really more doing SEC Network stuff exclusively. It just is such a pinch me moment all the time. I think you guys know this. I don't know if I revealed this last time on Stupidity, but my ultimate dream was to be the radio sideline reporter for Florida football games. Yeah. So to get to this point is just, I can't even believe it. I'm so thankful for it every single day. I can't believe I get to do this as a quote unquote job. It never feels like a job. And I think what I'm most thankful for is just the people along the way who continue to, you know, give me critique, to make me better, to challenge me, to take time to invest in what I'm doing and all of that. I mean, that's just, I don't get anywhere near to this point if people don't do that. And, you know, obviously I appreciate you guys too along this way now that we're doing the corny moments here, but it really is one of those things where, like, I was in the studio just the other day because we were doing some promo shots and things. I'm looking around thinking, wait, I get to be in this studio every single day. How is that even possible? It gives me chills just to talk about it.
Very cool. We tried to incorporate some stuff from Stupidity into to your ESPN hits, your Golic and Wingo hits. We sent you the stickers. You put them on your forehead, not on your wall. I sent you the banana bread. It's the only thing I've ever followed through with the entire time we've done this. We've done this podcast. How was it, by the way?
That banana bread was unbelievable. And it was to the point that, so my husband doesn't really want to eat a carb, which means you really can't trust him. But anyway, I was eating the entirety of the banana bread. I was just eating it like throughout the day over a period of maybe 48 hours. And finally, he's like, God, he's like, this banana bread must be amazing. Like you just keep eating it and eating it. And I'm like, it really is so good. So he finally tries some and then I ate the rest of it. Right. And he comes back to me later and he's like, what happened to that banana bread? I really liked it and I wanted some. And of course I ate all of it. So it really was a hit. The Stupidity stickers, you know what's funny, guys? We actually, so I have the stickers. I have a lot of them still, but we had some of our friends reach out and be like, can you send me some of those stickers? I hope that's okay that I sent them. It was like, I felt like I was sending them on the black market, these Stupidity stickers, but they're like, you know where I could get some of those? I'm like, listen, I'm going to send you some, like, let's keep promoting the show. Let's keep, you know, people keep the fans happy here. But I mean, seriously, I've never, like, of any of the shows I've ever done, any of the podcasts, I never get people asking me for the stickers or asking me for the promotional items. That really speaks a lot to your fandom here.
Yeah, in my world, they're currency. I mean,
you are so famous. I don't know if you realize that.
I do.
Laura, don't give them away. They're a commodity. You should have sold them. Well, we are disappointed in you.
Yeah.
You charge the highest bidder.
Yeah, you should have forged my signature and sent them out to people. I mean, your signature is worth a lot too, but
no, it's not. My signature is hot garbage. But I do need to see your signature. I'm going to forge it and start doing it. But these Stupidity stickers have gone with me everywhere during, you know, the past few months, and they're going to just keep doing it. How much do you think? How much should I be selling them for? Like, if I'm going to, and I'll give you guys a cut. You know,
90-10 our way. Obviously, that's how it works.
You'd be surprised. Like I did a Topps baseball card, right? And they put it Topps, like it was selling on the secondary market, and listeners were buying them for a lot. But Dan and I were mortified. They were spending a lot of money, and not only that. And here's where I really got mortified. They found my home address. They sent them to me. They would put a self-addressed envelope with a Sharpie, ask me to autograph them, and send them back.
Well, okay.
The bad part is they have my home address.
I was about to say, you're going to have some visitors. That happens, though.
I guess I'm staying at a Homewood Suites. I mean,
listen, come to my Homewood Suites and you don't have to worry about it. It's funny because, you know, my husband was a baseball player and we're still getting those cards where they're asking for the signature and they seem to find our address wherever we go. I'm like, who's putting these addresses out there? They won't find this Homewood Suites, though, so it's good. Room 303.
All right, so but the stickers were sent to you with the intention of you using them on the SportsCenter. And so I think what Stanton and I are concerned about, while super happy that you're hosting NFL Live, but this is all about us. And so we're wondering how we incorporate Stupidity into NFL Live. Listen, I don't think Markman's going to like, even though Markman has been on the show, okay?
Twice.
He joined us. He did. He joined for Diana Rossini's anniversary parade that we did here on Spot.
She got engaged, not an anniversary, but you know.
She got engaged. You're right. Yeah. You're right. It's a bad job out of me. Yeah. Won't believe she gets to an anniversary.
Keep it in.
Keep it in.
No.
I can get a little hate.
I love Diana.
She's the best. She's the best.
Oh, but yeah, I failed a little bit, right, guys? Like those things are supposed to end up on TV.
Yeah.
The thing that happened is after I did the show from the sauna last time, ESPN was like, we're done with this sauna situation. And I don't know if it was Stupidity. I don't know what it was, but they were like, you're going to have to get an actual set. So the improvement of the set was that my sofa was in the background instead of the sauna. Right. So I could never find a good spot to put them. Now the NFL Live studio is huge. There's so much real estate in there. I think I should just go in and just stick them, start sticking them around the studio and see if anyone notices. What's anyway, like, no one would even know it was me. I'll just do it, even though I'm outing myself right now. But
I got to tell you something. They'll think it's Mina. I'm not even joking. That you guys can do this, right? They'll have no idea which one of you did it. I mean,
I'm going to blame Mina. I love it. No, I'm going to own it too. I'm going to say it was me, but I'm going to start putting them around, and then I will have a reveal of where they are, and we can see if people can find it on TV.
See, that's what I like. I like hidden stupidity stickers. Okay.
Yes. It's a treasure hunt. It's a stupidity treasure hunt.
Yes. So this, and then I also would like to, if we could, I want to incorporate like things from, like, I'm asking too much.
It's never enough. Laura, it's never enough. You give him an inch, he asks for a mile.
Yet. I mean, listen, this is a one-way transaction so far. The only one cutting it is me. I mean, there are platforms on NFL Live, and I've just got a big suite at the Ramblewood. I mean,
like, what is stupidity getting out of me? Nothing. Like, you guys are getting
banana bread. I mean, banana bread.
I mean, I'm just over here moving.
You know what I got? Took an hour of my show away.
Digital.
I'm crying. What's the next request? I'm waiting for it. I'm on the edge of my seat here.
I think we want to come up with some, maybe, you know, stupidity sayings, or how about that, or maybe, you know, some of the audience to come up with some stuff that you, because you're such a great broadcaster, can seamlessly weave into whatever it is you're doing that day on NFL Live. That's it.
Listen, you know that I love doing things like that. So let's come up with whatever it's going to be, and it will end up on NFL Live. And then just all of us will know what it is. Wow. I have even been known to play word games where you have to get a word into a broadcast somehow. And it's something like, you know, dragon fruit or whatever it is. And then you have to get it in. So I will do this. Like, you guys, let's just decide what we want it to be. We're going to get it in there. I'll probably do it alongside Mina. Like, I will say something weird to her because she wouldn't act weird about it. If I say it to Orlovsky, he'll be like, what did you just say? Mina will just roll with it. So we're going to do it. I can't wait. All right,
good. What have you learned about our friend Dan Orlovsky as you get ready for NFL Live?
Okay, the guy is such a film junkie. Like, he sits there and he is legitimately that guy that just sits there and watches film. And he'll find things that he brings up and he says, you wouldn't believe, we thought the narrative was this about this one guy because everyone just kept saying it. But then I actually went back and watched the film and it's actually this. And he obviously has a love for Carson Wentz and some of these quarterbacks that other people don't love as much. And he's very quarterback oriented. But I think that he brings such a unique perspective to everything because he can really teach the game. And I learned so much from watching how he lays it out. It's very, it at times can be elite level X's and O's, but it's never above just the average fan's head, which I think is really, really cool. So we're going to have a lot of breakdowns from him that people really like. And we haven't seen those from him in a while because he's been, you know, away from the studio.
He's very good at it. He's excellent at it. He might be the best we have. Have he and Mina allowed you into a little group text about The Bachelor?
Okay, so I don't watch The Bachelor, so I have not been invited to this group text because they were talking about it, and I said, well, I don't watch it, so they said I can't be part of it, but now I kind of feel left out. I think I might have to watch it for the first time in my life. I'm 31 years old. I've never watched The Bachelor or The Bachelorette.
Right.
I'm kind of proud of it.
You should.
Maybe I should get into it. Like, what am I doing with my life?
Hosting NFL Live. That's what you're doing. What's your husband doing, by the way, right now? Is he killing a bear? I mean, what?
Crossbow hunting?
Oh, my goodness. He is actually really excited to see a bear here. We've kind of been looking for one. But then I'm like, what are we going to do with it when we see one?
Making a rug.
Exactly. Except I think that's illegal. But so he's actually cooking breakfast in the Homewood Suites with the baby. So he's got baby duty right now. And it was funny because when I was trying to get my computer working in here, I called him from this room and he was like, she's screaming and blah, and I'm like, okay, bye. I'll talk to you later. I'm doing stupidity right now. Okay. I don't have time for that crap. He's a champ.
He's
well, listen, it's a bear, but it's just a baby bear.
So, let's talk a little sports while we have you here. I'm interested in a little sports. I'm interested. Let's talk college football, and then we'll get to the NFL. We have three conferences, three of the Power Five conferences, just moving forward, okay? The SEC, the ACC, they need a third, and they got the Big 12. Everyone's saying this won't affect it, you know, it won't devalue the national championship, which I absolutely love, and he's right, because the national championship rarely, I don't think it ever comes out, except for those USC years, the Pac-12. Maybe the Big Ten with Ohio State, so I shouldn't really say that. But the whole thing seems to be a mess. I mean, how do you imagine this thing to look? How do you imagine it to play out? You worked the SEC network. The SEC is undeterred. I think they think the winner of their conference is the national champion anyway. But how do you – like, the whole thing seems to be a mess, unorganized, and it feels like there should be one person making this decision. And there are several people making several different decisions, which is confusing to a lot of people. Mostly kids.
Yeah, it has been so insane just to watch all of this unfold. And it kind of felt like even, you know, early on, maybe back in March, that this was going to be complicated and that wasn't going to be a surprise to anybody. But I am shocked that the Big Ten and the Pac-12 made a decision so quickly. I think that they could have waited a little longer and it would have been fine. I mean, look, who knows what's going to end up happening with the SEC, ACC, Big 12. I think they're going to keep barreling on, like they're going to try to play. And there's a lot of the thought process of how could they even have potentially a moving bubble once they test the team, once they test the players, once they have negative tests on a Thursday, for instance, you take those negative test people and you move that bubble to somewhere that's quarantined on campus. Then that bubble moves to wherever they're going to play the game. Like, there are ways to do it and there are ways to keep it hopefully as safe as possible. The fan element's a whole different thing. And a lot of the revenue in college football comes from the fans and from gate money. So that's going to be interesting to see how they manage all that. But you're right in the fact that there's no overarching voice here. I mean, look, from the NFL standpoint, Roger Goodell this entire time has said, we're playing and we're going to figure it out and people are going to opt out and people might get sick and we're just rolling on with it. And I guess the positive there is at least it's one voice, even though he answers to the owners. Here, it's just a free-for-all. And what's kind of being lost in the shuffle, guys, that I think is an interesting point, is that it's really the presidents of these universities who are voting on this. It was the presidents that voted in the Big Ten to say, we're not going to play. It was the presidents in the Pac-12 as well, the presidents that are voting in these other conferences to go on ahead, at least for now. And so presidents just have a different way of thinking than an athletic director or a coach. The coaches have no power here, really. I mean, they do sort of, but not really ultimately in these actual votes. And same with the athletic directors. So the presidents are the decision makers. They're influencing all of this. And then the conference commissioners have some sort of say. But, you know, Kevin Warren in the Big Ten's taking a big fall for a lot of this from his critics. But look, it was the presidents that voted on it. So I think there's so much here that, you know, it's going to be crazy if the Big 12, the ACC, the SEC play, and we don't see the Big 10 and the Pac-12 and these other conferences, these other three that say they're going to play are able to go through a full season, get to the college football playoff, all that. It's just going to look like it was premature, whether it was right or wrong.
It's amazing to me that, because Dan and I have been talking about this for a long time, it took all of these events for the kids to realize what type of power they had. Hey, because now they've seen the dirty side of the business. They've seen the business side of the business, and they've seen it up close and personal, and they've also seen just how valuable they are. And something that I think the kids at Northwestern tried to do years ago, which was form basically a players' union, a players' alliance, I think we're going to see now here moving forward. And I hope the kids just pause for a minute and realize, hey, we're the ones risking our lives. We're the ones generating all the money. and they put something together that allows them to have more leverage and power and get themselves paid more moving forward. I just can't believe it took all of this lore for them to realize just how important they are. They're not part of the equation. They are the equation. And they deserve to get a lot more than a free education. And I'm glad they're seeing it now.
Yeah, it's so fascinating how, you know, it's not only just the pandemic, but then social justice comes to the forefront. So they realize that they have power there and that their voices can be heard. And that continues to gain momentum. And then, you know, you see Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields and these players who are big time players, big time names all over the country, kind of banding together saying, we want to play. And then also kind of noticing their power in a big way, having the voices. I mean, look, we heard from Trevor Lawrence about all sorts of things before we heard from Dabo Swinney, and Dabo took a lot of criticism for that. And so I do think that you're seeing their voices get louder and they're starting to realize, but I also think that's part of the fear from the leadership standpoint. And that's part of this need to, how are we going to control this? How are we going to control these players to maintain, you know, what's always been the way of the NCAA and some of these, especially Power Five conferences.
I want to talk a little bit NFL, but it was very well said, by the way. What I hope we don't have is the winner of the three conferences versus the winner of the two conferences playing in the summer. Like, the whole thing is weird. I want an NFL weekly segment talking about the Jets on NFL Live. Can you make it happen? But I am just going right in. I'm asking for it, okay?
Absolutely. Like, it's done. I don't even have to I'm not asking anybody else. I'm just saying that it's going to happen.
All right. You want me to talk to Markman, or you think you can get
I mean, it would probably help. Like, you go to him too, and then it's like a double whammy, but I think we're good there. Like, we're just gonna do it.
Stanzik, you said, I think Markman wants to use me. He just doesn't know how to use me. I truly believe he probably doesn't want to use me, Stanzik.
Is this a sense you got, or are you saying that I have the sense? Because I do not have that sense.
You don't have it at all, do you? Neither do I. I'm not crazy.
It sounded good, though, to say it, though, right? It felt good.
A weekly chat segment. The NFL, how do you feel like? So the NFL just remains undeterred here. They're moving forward. They might actually have, because of what's happening with college football, the scheduling options might be very cool, where you might find games on a Thursday, on Saturday. You have games on Thursday, but just different scheduling ideas and things the NFL could do in the absence of some of, if not all, of the college football season. But I think the NFL is just going to move forward. Like, hey, this is it. We're going to take our chances. I think the country as a whole is going to be happy about that. It's going to be interesting to see how this thing looks, you know, with limited fans or no fans. But you expect the NFL to get a full season in, don't you?
I do. I think they're going full steam ahead. I think that, you know, it's kind of like what they said even in the lead up to the draft. We're going to do it. We're going to pull it off. We've got our ways to do it. We are figuring it out. You know, they're certainly being consulted by very high powered and respected medical experts and all of that. And so I think they're doing everything they can to keep it as safe as possible. I was surprised at how many guys opted out. I didn't see that many opting out. And so I think that was telling that so many did. And look, they have that option. And I think that's been important here, because you don't want anyone to be out there playing or to feel forced to be there. It is so different from college football, because you do have the opportunity to say, you know what, I'm good. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to play. I think they already in the camps, and you know, we saw what happened with Doug Peterson and Sean Payton and some of these high profile coaches who tested positive for COVID. They're away for a while, they come back, and it is what it is, you know. And I think that's the way that the NFL is looking at it. However you feel about this from, you know, the standpoint of being a citizen in our country, that's a totally different thing. But I do think inside the NFL's walls, that's how they're looking at it. And then to your point about the scheduling, the NFL can be the complete king here. They may not even have to compete with college football. Who knows? I still am optimistic that we will see some college football, but they could be the complete king and dominate the schedule, and the ratings will be out the roof. And that's one other key point. Fans are important in the NFL, obviously, but they comprise maybe 15 to 16% of revenue in comparison to in college football, it's more like 80%. So much of the NFL money is TV money, which is very easy for that to be pulled off, you know, the way that they will. One thing that's funny, I was actually I was doing a podcast, not to throw other podcasts out here. Don't worry. This isn't a
How dare you? Be careful.
I know. Let me tread lightly here. But Doug Flutie was on this podcast.
Oh, well, that's fun.
I know, right. And he goes, he's like, the craziest thing is people are going to be able to hear everything that's happening on the field. And that really is fascinating to me because I've been a sideline reporter for years. You guys would, but you also wouldn't believe some of the things that people say down there. And it's just never caught on live mics. Sometimes it is, but not really.
Yeah.
Because all you hear is fan noise and it's so loud in there. How are they going to make it loud enough? Because guys aren't going to be able to just, you know, in the heat of the moment, like Aaron Rodgers throws a bad interception. He's not going to come over to the sideline and be like, oh, it's fine. Right. You know, so how are they going to keep that quiet or to have enough noise in the stadium? You just got to think there's going to be some drama in being able to hear everything.
You're so right. People were mortified that Justin Thomas, a golfer, I mean, mortified by him, that he dropped an F-bomb. Like, everyone's like, oh my God, Justin, what do you think he says after he hits a bad shot? In the NFL, it's like 1,000-fold, you know? It's crazy. Yeah, it's going to be an interesting part of this. All right, I got to run here because I have a radio show to do in a minute.
Oh, you do? Okay.
I want you to tell Stanzik what happened when you were nice enough. That was we've done a lot for you. All right, I don't know why. Stickers, you got a beautiful suite at the Ramblewood, Homewood, whatever. I mean, anything else I can do for you, let me know. It's done, okay? Banana bread. But you were nice enough to wish me a happy birthday on my actual birthday. And I told Stanley it was a very funny text transaction. I will go ahead and let you tell a story because it's ridiculous.
This was unbelievable. I see that it is Stu Gotz's birthday. And I'm like, I am going to send him a birthday. Happy birthday. I say happy birthday. And I do a Will Ferrell gif where he's doing his arms in the air. And then Stu Gotz writes back, thank you, Zoe. And then he goes, Zoe, laughing face emoji. Yours and my TV producer came in at the same time. I said, who the hell is Zoe? I'm scorned all over again.
Zoe's Lorenzo, my TV.
He goes, Lorenzo, thank you, Laura. So nice of you. Okay, save the rest for the podcast.
Well, because where we went to, Stanzik, tell me if I'm wrong, is Zoe Rutledge seems to be...
Oh, that's my new name. Lorenzo yeah. Rutledge.
Which, by the way,
honestly, okay, Stanzik, it has a better ring than Laura Rutledge. Like, I honestly have a hard time saying my own name. I think Lorenzo it really should be my new name. So I'm going by Zoe. I'm Lorenzo Rutledge. Sorry about the real Zoe because he can't even compete here because I've taken his name. But I'm like, dude, I'm trying to send this guy a happy birthday. And he writes back, oh, thanks, Zoe. I'm like, who's Zoe? The hell is Zoe?
Back to Zoe. Thanks, Laura.
You guys, what's your excuse? Is it that like so many texts were flooding in that you got confused? That's what you're going for?
Yes. Yes. Okay. Yes, Stanzik. I was trying to call Laura Rutledge Lorenzo.
I certainly didn't text you. I know that.
But Lorenzo, you know what? But Zoe Rutledge or Lorenzo Rutledge, I think, is a lot more kind of risque.
Yeah, it's got
the other side of Laura.
It's my alter ego. Let's be honest. And Lorenzo is probably truer to my true self than Laura is.
All right, so the next time we have you on, after you're the voice of Monday Night Football. Okay, so after the next time we have you on, I would say this is a stepping stone, okay? And so the next time we have you on, I'd like to hear Laura Rutledge doing NFL Live and Lorenzo Rutledge doing NFL Live.
Oh, I will cook this up.
Okay,
Laura, real quick before we let you go, I just want to prove how terrible Stu Gotz's retention is. Stu Gotz, the last time we had Laura on, she told us her favorite movie is blank, and she wanted us to watch it. What was that movie?
Shit.
Lorenzo loves this movie.
Wow, that I would consider that a clue, Laura.
That should have been amazing.
Oh, my God. I remember the name of it, Sanzik. It was called Go F*** Yourself.
That is my real favorite movie.
What was it? I'm sorry.
Nacho Libre.
Oh, that's right. All right, next time, I promise. Stands in right.
Yeah, right. If you ever watch Nacho Libre, I really will go and have a governmental name change. Like, I'll go to the social security people and tell them my new name's Lorenzo.
All right. Well, we're going to come up with, listen, Laura Rutledge doing NFL Live. We don't need to come up with anything for you. We are going to come this alter ego of Lorenzo Rutledge. Okay. I want to hear that person host NFL Live. So Stanzik and I will figure out how to get it done for the next time you join us.
I can't wait. I'm looking forward to that immensely. You're going to be late for your radio show.
I know. They're already texting me. Congratulations. Seriously. We're super happy for you. NFL Live Monday, 4 o'clock, ESPN every day. Laura Rutledge is the host. We're super happy for you. Congratulations. I see that big smile on your face.
You guys rock.
You earned it. You deserved it. And that's the smile of someone who has a beautiful suite at the Ramblewood. Congratulations.
I'm going to go get my continental breakfast.
Stupidity.